Just a couple of announcements. Greg told me that the Go and Serve says that the youth are going to Bowers Farm at 6 o'clock. That's not correct. It's right after worship. Now, if you'd like to stay in worship till 6 o'clock, I can see what I can do about that. But it is right after worship today, so not 6 o'clock. And the other announcement that I wanted to tell you that is exciting is that Sarah returns tomorrow. Yay! So, that's really all I have to say for right now, and so let us prepare for our worship. Rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Let us come into the revealing and healing light of God. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection, yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin.
Renew us in grace
and restore us to living in your holiness.
Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Rejoice with all creation around God's throne. The light of the risen Christ puts to flight all evil deeds, washes away sin, restores innocence to the fallen, casts out hate, brings peace, and humbles earthly pride. Jesus Christ loves you and frees you from your sins by his blood. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. If there's anybody else who'd like to come up for today's children's sermon, come on up. Hey. Hey there. Nope. I guess I'm scary. Well, I wanted to talk to y'all today about
ingredients. Okay? So, yeah. Yeah. So if I was going to make a grilled cheese, what are the ingredients that I would use?
Coffee.
Coffee. Bread and cheese, right? If I didn't, now if I took one of those out, do what?
Cookies.
Cookies, yeah. I could put cookies on a grilled cheese. I like how you think. But if I took one of those ingredients out, it wouldn't really be a grilled cheese anymore, would it? What about cereal? How do you make, what are the ingredients that make cereal?
Coffee.
Maybe.
Cookies.
Milk, right?
Fruit Loops.
Like Fruit Loops, yeah.
Cookies.
A bowl, yeah, bowls. You gotta have them in a bowl, right? Yeah, so, but if you took one of those ingredients out, it wouldn't be cereal anymore, right?
No.
Right? So, what about our lives? What are the ingredients of our life? We got parents, right?
So.
You know? We got friends.
Brothers.
We got brothers and sisters. And God, yes, exactly. Who do you think of the people of the things we just mentioned? Who's the most important ingredient in our life? God, right, yes, exactly. Y'all are so smart. Wow, y'all are going to do way better in school than I did. Well, that's the lesson that I wanted to teach you today.
About coffee.
Yeah, you like coffee, don't you? But that God is the most important ingredient in our life. And when we worship God and we love God and we praise God, that everything comes together. Okay? All right, so let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the most important ingredient in our life. And we love you and worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
First lesson, a reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Second lesson is a reading from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that we loved us, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A preacher was making his rounds to his parishioners on a bicycle one day when he came upon a little boy trying to sell a lawnmower. How much do you want for the lawnmower? Asked the preacher. I want just enough money to go out and buy me a bicycle, said the little boy. Well, after a moment of consideration, the preacher asked, will you take my bike in trade for it? The little boy asked if he could try it out first, and after riding the bike around for a little while, he said, Mister, you've got yourself a deal. The preacher took the mower and began to try to crank it. He pulled on the string a few times with no response from the mower. Finally, the preacher called the little boy over and said, "I can't get this mower to start." The little boy said, "That's because you have to cuss at it to get it started." The preacher said, "I've been a pastor for 25 years. I don't even remember how to cuss." The little boy looked at him and said, "Just keep pulling on that string. It'll come back to you." Words have power, although I'm not sure there are any that can get a lawnmower to crank. I call it one of the pastor words. Pastor words are words that we all know, but which we don't use very often. But when spoken by a pastor in a counseling or a faith-filled circumstance, they take on special significance. One of those words is all over our second reading and gospel lessons today. It's the word abide. And as we explore that today, I've combined the sermon and the hymn of the day into one thing. So I'd like to invite you to get out your hymnals right now and turn to hymn 629, which is the hymn Abide With Me. And as you're doing that, let me give you just a little context for this hymn. The author, Henry Light, contracted tuberculosis and was not expected to live, and he was only 45 years old. He prepared a farewell sermon for the morning of September 4th, 1847, which included the lyrics of Abide With Me. Henry Light died 10 weeks after preaching his farewell sermon. Yet the power of the words continues to this day, speaking of God's abiding, sustaining presence, no matter what life holds. Let's sing verse 1. Of the time, people think that this is a hymn to use when you have an evening worship service, but that's not necessarily so. When you've got worries, when something is troubling you, haven't you noticed that it always seems worse at night? That's what this hymn means. We need God to abide with us at all times, but especially when our struggles seem so strong and threaten to overwhelm us. And then comes the promise in the face of all our fears. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. What a blessed assurance that is. Jim, can we do verse 2?
Glory to you, Christ.
Maybe you've never noticed the third line, but it could have been written today. When we look at our world, change and decay in all around we see. So often the world seems to be spinning out of control and not for the better. But then comes that glorious assurance once again. God is there. God is in control. And in the midst of all the wrong, God is with us and God's love never fails. We cling to that rock of life who never forsakes us. Verse 3. It's an admission we should all make. We need God's presence in our lives in every passing hour. It is God who sustains us, no matter what comes our way. But it isn't just that God is there. God stays with us, no matter what. God does not flee away when difficulty comes. No, God is always with us in love and grace. That's what it means to abide. God abides with us in cloud and in sunshine. He's there for us to count on always. Verse 4. What amazing trust this verse proclaims. We've felt the weight of ills, the bitterness of tears, the sting of death in our lives. But with God with us, those things do not defeat us. God abides with us, and we can trust in God's love. Now we're ready for verse 5, but before we sing it, I do want to let you know, I know that's the last one in your hymnal, but don't put your hymnal away when it's over, okay? All right, Jim, verse 5. You see, finally, It's a prayer. Earnest, heartfelt. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. It's just what we count on to see us through. And it's just what we need. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them, we read in 1 John. And Jesus tells us, abide in me as I abide in you. Verse 1. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of mercy and grace, our hearts overflow with your praises. All around us we see the beauty of your goodness and blessing for us, and we offer you our grateful hearts. As you shower your love on us, may we be led to lives of love and peace. Lord, in your mercy, living God, make us more merciful in life. Open our hearts to care for those around us in love and understanding, especially those who are different from us. Remind us that we are yours, and especially that all of us are yours together. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we have burdens which are heavy, and burdens which need lifting. Many of us are weighed down with troubles. Many feel forsaken and alone. Heal the sick. Comfort those in sorrow. Give your strength where we are weak. Bless all in need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we so need your presence with us. It is such a comfort to feel you near. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with us forever. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God, be known to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, as you were made known to the disciples. Receive these gifts and the offering of our lives, that we may be your risen body in the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of glory, hosannas. Loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood, for freeing your people Israel from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Redeemer. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your Spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, you send light to conquer the darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of heaven to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through the same Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. I did too, but I've been known for a moment.